Well, my husband Mark and I used to fairly regularly take people sailing. It's just one of the things we did. And he was teaching at the downtown selling center, and so he had access to the boats there. And so it was that one summer, we took my best friend and her friend out sailing. Now, my best friend had been out a bunch of times with us, but the friend was new. But Mark, he just can't help himself. He has to teach everyone who comes on board, and so he insisted that she steer the boat. And then if she could steer the boat, then the other three of us knew enough to put up a spinnaker, which is just fun, right? It's fun to have more sail so you can go faster. And so there we were with a new sailor at the helm and a spinnaker up, and Mark had already assured this friend that there was no way the boat could tip over. Except he didn't mention that perhaps one option for the boat tipping over is if you have too much wind and a spinnaker up and the spinnaker managed to get into the water, then you might have a problem. So there we were sailing along, and then two storms came up very quickly on either side of us. And we were headed right into the shore. And so we had this poor girl trying to steer her way, trying to follow what they were saying, but it was a tiller where you have to steer the opposite direction of the way you want to go. And we almost lost a pole overboard. And when we finally got through it, when we got through the storms, there was another boat, another sailboat that had not tried to sail through it. And they came up to him and they said, "Hey guys, was that you guys sailing?" We said, "Yeah." They said, "That's awesome. You want some beer?" It was really pretty dumb. How did we possibly get through that? God must have been on our side, right? You know, the assigned psalm for yesterday began with a call and response that all Israel was to join in. If it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, our enemies would have been swallowed up. Our enemies would have swallowed us up alive. Doesn't that seem like a dangerous claim to make, that God is on our side? And yet, here we have before us this beautiful story that Sue managed to get through. I just want to applaud her for that. That was amazing. For getting through the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who defied the satraps and prefects, the governors and the king's counselors, not bowing down when they heard the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, drum, an entire musical ensemble. What a story. They clearly had God on their side, protecting them from the fiery flames of Nebuchadnezzar's furnace. But it's not always so clear-cut, is it? Whose side was God on at that shooting 4 years ago? It was 4 years ago, just this past Monday, when a young man who was confirmed in a Lutheran church opened fire at a Bible study at an African Methodist Episcopal church in South Carolina, killing 9 faithful Christians. Whose side was God on just over 20 years ago when 2 boys took the lives of so many at Columbine, demanding that kids renounce their faith? Whose side was God on just a couple weeks ago here at this church, when a man tormented by mental illness and addiction behaved in disturbing ways? And faithful members of this church welcomed him and then later found themselves having to subdue him. Isn't it dangerous to start claiming that God is on our side? We have seen too many times how one's faith does not protect you from the violence of this world. And that, I believe, is the greatest joy in this long passage from the book of Daniel. The words of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they are confronted by the tyranny and might of King Nebuchadnezzar. If our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and out of your hand, O King, let him deliver us. But if not, be it known to you, O King, that we will not serve your gods, and we will not worship the golden statue that you have set up. Because truthfully, there are some things worth dying for. As Paul writes to the Romans, and as we say in almost every funeral here at Epiphany, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. And if we are to take Mary's song to heart this evening, Jesus did not come to make everything work out well. Jesus did not come to bring peace and happiness and laughter, though by all means there is nothing wrong with any of those. No, Jesus came to turn the world upside down. And turning the world upside down is going to anger those in power, especially when they see power slipping out of their grasp. So yes, God is on our side. But God is also on their side, on the side of all created in the image of God. Can we come to terms with that? A God who loves us, but loves too our enemies. Nebuchadnezzar clearly didn't get that. You can tell by the end of the story. He wanted to switch to the winning side. And so he started saying, well, I'm just going to reverse it. Anyone who doesn't worship the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego will be torn limb from limb. God is on our side. But that does not mean God condones everything we say or do. Rather, it means that God will never leave you or forsake you. For God is on the side of justice and radical love. And God being on your side does not rescue you from a storm you foolishly chose to sail through, or from the pain of broken relationships, or from a person who has lost control of reason and acts out. Rather, it means that whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. We are claimed as children of God. And no, by the way, that does not mean take thoughtless risks with no purpose. But it does mean that we take risks in pursuit of loving our neighbors. May God grant us the courage of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to do what is right, no matter the cost, trusting that God will walk with us in our fiery furnace, and perhaps that we too may be God's angels to walk with others in their trials. In Jesus' name, amen.